My name is Edgar Mannheimer, and this is Kalam, a podcast about the Middle East.
It's obviously, again, not just about Palestine. It's about keeping democracy alive. It's about being able to participate in a democracy through protest. And if this isn't okay anymore in Germany, then I wonder what is left of democracy and where is my freedom of expression?
The voice you just heard belongs to Salah Saeed, a Palestinian activist from Germany. We recorded this interview back in April, so bear that in mind when we refer to current events and figures. But the substance of the conversation remains relevant, namely Germany's descent into madness. We'll be getting back to Salah and Germany in just a second, but first, an announcement. We're so delighted to have published our very first video-recorded podcast episode on YouTube. This is featuring the Gazan poet and very much a friend of the podcast, Mus'ab Abu Toha, who speaks to me about Gaza and the history of Arabic poetry. Check that out and subscribe to us on YouTube. We'll be uploading more videos soon. And if you enjoy listening to Kalam Podcast and want to support independent journalism about Palestine and the Middle East, you can do so by joining Club Kalam on Patreon. For just $3 a month, you'll gain access to full-length interviews with all our guests, as well as our Kalam Shorts series. These are 10 to 15 minute explainers of important terminology like Zionism, Orientalism, and settler colonialism. All that you'll find at patreon.com/kalampodcast. And if you like the show, please subscribe to us wherever you listen to your podcasts, and please give us a rating. It helps other people find out about us. Now, back to the show. This is one of the countless videos from a pro-Palestinian rally in Germany where police brutally crack down on protesters who use forbidden language. In this case, a terrified little boy is carried by his father while being arrested. You can hear the fear in his voice as he screams. One of the forbidden phrases in Germany is, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." It's considered anti-Semitic by the German anti-Antisemitism bureaucracy. The story of this bureaucracy is twisted and complicated, and I won't get into the details now. If you want to learn more about this, I can highly recommend an episode from The Dig podcast, featuring the German organizer and writer Emily Dische-Becker. For now, I'll say that Germany has outsourced its guilt and shame over the Holocaust onto Arabs and Palestinians. In the EU elections just last week, the far-right and not-so-subtly anti-Semitic political party Alternative für Deutschland, AfD, won nearly 16% of the vote, gaining 6 seats in the EU Parliament, making it the second most popular political party in the country. This follows the Ausländer Raus scandal, where racist brats were caught on camera doing the Heil Hitler sign and chanting "foreigners out" at a popular German vacation destination. And yet, police in Germany are focusing on a completely different group, peaceful pro-Palestinian demonstrators, many of them Jewish.
Suddenly, 6 burly police officers were after me. They dragged me off the street. They said nothing to me, and so I tried to hold up my signs. That made them very, very angry, and then they took my signs and tried to really hurt me. I mean, I'm 53 years old. I didn't take it very well. They dragged me back there. There was lots of yelling going back and forth. I was screaming for a lawyer, an Anwalt. I don't know, we worked it out, but finally...
We have a situation in Germany where Jewish people are being violently arrested for expressing their political beliefs, while a far-right political party is surging in the polls. This does not bode well. I am appalled at how the grandchildren of Nazis think that they can decide who is a good Jew and who is a bad Jew, and have the nerve to lecture living Jews on what is and isn't anti-Semitism. Germany has lost the plot. To quote my dear friend Wael Iskandar, an Egyptian revolutionary living in Berlin, only in Germany, in a protest that denounced a plan to kick migrants out of the country, would protesters kick out the migrants, joining them demanding they be kicked out of the country. Luckily, I had the opportunity to speak to and get to know Salah Said, who masterfully takes us through Germany's stupidity. So, without further ado, here's Salah. Salah Said is a Palestinian activist from Germany. And Salah, I'd like to thank you for your important and difficult work in the face of Germany's insanity. I don't know how else to describe it. And welcome to the Kalam podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, to the rest of the world, or I guess the rest of the reasonable world, it seems that Germany is descending into madness. Non-Jewish German police dressed in riot gear are violently arresting Jews for expressing their political beliefs, accusing them of anti-Semitism, not to mention how black and brown people are treated in Germany and have been treated for so long. Can you give us an idea of what is going on in Germany right now?
I feel like, you know, growing up as a Palestinian in general, people growing up here with migration backgrounds, racism and discrimination is something you just grow up with. And it's something of a very regular, as it sounds, experience that a lot of people make. I think in regards to what we've been seeing in the last couple of months, it is at a much intenser scale. Like, the racism and discrimination we're experiencing is very intense, because it's not just like daily racism and people being unaware and biased and structural racism you may experience at school, university, or work. It's really an institutionalized way of suppressing any kind of person who shows solidarity with Palestine. And that is something that I haven't experienced to that extent prior. Now, looking at a lot of my Jewish and Israeli friends here in Germany, I think their reality is even crazier than usual, because Germany, you know, kind of holds pride and, you know, pretends to have the intention to protect Jewish life in Germany because of their past, which is very admirable and honorable if they would actually really do it. But the reality really is that if you're an anti-Zionist Jew, or if you're a left Jew or Israeli, then you're out of the equation. Then Germany is not going to protect you, and Germany is not going to take care of your life being safe and not in danger. And that is what the majority of Jewish friends in the movement have been experiencing. We've seen brutal attacks on Jewish life, on Jewish organizations, not just by the government, but also by in companies. And, you know, there's this special case of a bank in Germany that has shut down a Jewish organization's bank account for supporting the Palestine conference. And there's many of those examples. But the violence and the extreme aggression even Jews experience is something that I feel like is a new phenomenon. I am used to it as a Palestinian. That's also sad to say, but you almost feel like, well, you know, it's not news. Germany's trying to keep up this myth of we need to support Israel no matter what. It's been trying to keep it up and keep it alive for forever. But now, where it's kind of crumbling and more people internationally are showing solidarity with Palestinians and our struggle, that myth is crumbling. And with it, the government really tries everything to silence anyone in solidarity with Palestine.
Yeah, certainly. When you say that the myth is crumbling, that really resounds, because it feels like at one point in time, maybe it was reasonable for Germany to say we give unconditional support to Jewish, anything Jewish, you know. But today it seems to me, and I mean, I'm an outsider, but at the same time, I'm sort of As a European person of Jewish descent, and my name is Mannheimer, I know that at some point my ancestors were in Germany. It just seems like so insane when I myself am witnessing the ascent of far-right extremism in Germany again, with not just the AfD, but many other far-right, you know, Nazi-inspired groups, fascist groups, anti-Semitic groups, anti-Arab groups, and you know, white supremacy groups. And even this 2023 Potsdam conference, which really is like a scary kind of throwback to the Final Solution discussions. And it seems that Germans are less concerned with that than they are with Palestine support, just simply expressing a kind of like, we just don't want a war, you know?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's even ridiculous that a country like Germany cannot even say we want ceasefire, right? Like, this is a decision of, am I for or against life? So when it comes to Palestinians, Germany officially is against life, right? And it's for death, because if you can't even say ceasefire, then I really wonder, what's your agenda here? And I mean, we're not surprised seeing Germany in full support of Israel, because it has been constantly supporting the oppression and the wars that Israel had on Palestine beyond Gaza, right? And we've seen Germany, after the 7th of October, increasing armed deliveries, weapon deliveries by 10 times. So if you are really, as a government, interested in a two-state solution and in peace, why aren't you trying to help with the negotiations? Cool. Why aren't you helping Palestinians to gain self-authority? Why aren't you helping, you know, Palestinians to actually, from scratch, build a nation state and build the opportunity for a life in dignity? And that is everything that Germany hasn't been doing. And on top of that, really supporting the aggressor here, Israel, no matter what. And I think what you were just saying with those tendencies on right uprising, it's something that we've been experiencing all across Europe, right? As well as in the US. Yeah. But I think what people don't really realize much in Germany, that it's not just the far right party AfD, it's the current government that is implementing and suggesting very racist immigration policies. And I think that is the reality that a lot of people with a migration background find themselves in. Is, I have voted for a Green Party, for instance, that has promised me that there won't be any weapon deliveries to crisis or war regions. And that was just a lie straight to your face. And it is the current government that is pretty much center to left that is coming up with all those racist policies, with the bans of protests, with the silencing of the Palestine Solidarity Movement. So I wonder, you know, why am I so afraid of the far right uprising if the uprising is actually happening pretty much from the center?
Yeah, it reminds me of people in the US who are met with the discourse of like, well, Donald Trump is going to be so much worse for Palestinians. And then they look at Joe Biden, the you know, allegedly center-left or some kind of center-liberal candidate, and he's literally funding this genocide in Palestine. But you live in Berlin, and while all this is going on, while this like insanely racist, I mean, in many ways, anti-Semitic crackdown is happening, there's also a lot of love for Palestine, and there's a huge pro-Palestinian, like solidarity movement, anti-genocide, pro-ceasefire. How does that look like?
I feel in Berlin, we have this melting pot of people from all across the globe coming together. We also have the largest diaspora community of Palestinians outside the Middle East in Germany. So obviously, there's a lot of love and support for Palestine. It is also not just since the 7th of October that Germany has been repressing, you know, any kind of movement and solidarity with Palestine. We've seen this over the last couple of years, from shutting down Nakba demonstrations to similar events. I think what we see at pro-Palestine protests is a diverse group of people and a very inclusive group of people. We see all sorts of communities, from LGBTQIA plus to, you know, black and brown people. We see Jewish people, we see Muslim Christians, we see people really that represent all sorts of groups within the diversity that lives in Germany, especially in Berlin. And I think it really shows that the Palestinian struggle is so interconnected with so many other struggles we have in the world, and that a lot of people can relate and resonate with it, because it is about the liberation of individuals, and it's about dignity and human rights that we are standing up for. So if we cannot stand up for human rights in Palestine, where would we, like, how would we stand up for human rights for anyone on this planet? And I think that a lot of people realize that, and that there is thousands and thousands of people that come with us on the street, including Germans, not as many as I would wish, but including Germans. Again, I feel that the strategy of the government was that a lot of people should feel fearful and should not go to protests, which is why they have banned them from the start. They have banned the Palestine flag from the start, and they were stripping us of our fundamental rights within a democracy. And people in the movement were able to fight this and brought it back. And it wasn't just Palestinians doing that. It was Germans and a lot of Jewish people. And I think, you know, this argument that German officials constantly try to use, that this is all to support, to this is all in support of fighting anti-Semitism, which, again, I'm the first one to fight anti-Semitism, but what the government does is to instrumentalize anti-Semitism for their own political agenda, because Germany doesn't support, you know, protecting Jews. Germany supports Zionism, and Germany supports Israel, and Israel does not represent all Jews on this planet. And there is thousands and thousands of Jewish people that would tell you that in Germany and in other places on this earth, literally people in Israel saying that. And we've seen those protests that, you know, are fighting the regime of Netanyahu, that are saying stop the genocide from Israelis in Israel. So why don't we see German news coverage about this? Why don't we see any German media reporting about this? Up until March 2023, we had seen, you know, a lot of coverage in German media about, you know, the left communities within Israel, in general, the Israeli population fighting Netanyahu. How all of a sudden was this man who was labeled as a fascist and as, you know, as a really, really horrible person portrayed like that in German media, all of a sudden is the biggest ally and best friend of our German politicians? And how can they support all these things that he and his government have been saying, from Palestinians are animals, they should be killed, no one should be left? Like, they say, the Germans or the German government, that they are in favor of a two-state solution. How can you cooperate with people who use the terminology like that against Palestinian people? And that shows me the hypocrisy. And that shows me that Germany will never dare to challenge the Israeli government in any shape or form.
Certainly, I think that the definition of anti-Semitism that the German government has adopted, and that I think most Western countries have adopted, the IHRA, this which conflates criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism, I think this is one of the most dangerous documents for Jews around the world today. But Salah,
I don't even understand how, you know, they came up with it. There was no Jewish person involved in the creation of this definition, right? Like, yeah, it's white people coming up with it, not, you know, being inclusive in the process. And a lot of people have been working for centuries with the Jerusalem definition of anti-Semitism. There has been so many researchers, including Wolfgang Benz and so on, that have worked through anti-Semitism, what it is, but shouldn't always be the group of people that is actually affected by anti-Semitism defining what it is. Why the hell would any German dare to say what is anti-Semitism or not? Are they the experts on genocide? Are they the experts of Holocaust? I assume they knew exactly what they did. And at the same time, it doesn't make them, you know, the experts of what is anti-Semitism. And that is ridiculous to me. Germans telling Jewish people they are anti-Semitic, and that's a new phenomenon that I've been seeing over and over and over. And I feel for all my Jewish friends that are going through this and are being so violated and abused by Germans. And I think we have to stop this. We cannot allow this if we want to protect Jewish life in Germany. I think it's at stake, and it's not at stake because of a Palestinian uprising and people showing solidarity with Palestine, it's at stake because it's being relativized. It's being so skewed that people actually don't even know what real anti-Semitism is. Yeah. And that is dangerous.
It's extremely dangerous. And it just seems to me so ridiculous that people who may well have a grandparent or two that were active Nazis would have the audacity to say anything to Jewish people and much less lecture them on anti-Semitism. Just off the bat sounds like an insane proposition to me, you know?
But it's like Germany mainstream every day.
Which must be a terrifying reality to live in for all of you that are involved with this. And which brings me to my next question, which is about you personally. I mean, you have been prosecuted by the German legal system, and from what I understand, your house has been raided several times, and I understand that you have to be careful about what you say, but please tell us as much as you can about what you're going through personally.
Look, as a Palestinian growing up in a diaspora, for me, it was Germany, obviously. I was born with a Palestinian cause and struggle, and you know, I was born with it in my home, with my family. We hear the stories of our grandparents hoping, you know, that they could go back to their lands. And, you know, their deepest wish is to live in freedom and have the opportunity to experience justice and freedom once in their lifetime. So growing up in Germany, that never really was an option so much to talk about Palestine without receiving negative or critical comments. Now, as someone who has been a really active member of the German society and who has been receiving awards for civic engagement and meeting politicians and, you know, receiving all this recognition for all my social work I've been doing in my private life, it has taken a toll on me on around understanding how from one day to another, I can be this German superhero, the person who cares so much for German society and helps in diversity and inclusion and youth engagement. And then the next day I'm labeled as someone who sympathizes with terrorists. And that this has been portrayed in media about me without media actually trying to reach out to me. You know, the police not just coming to my home and raided, but actually also being physically beaten and abused on the streets by police officers for chanting Free Palestine and for organizing protests and for really as simple as standing up for human rights and demanding justice and freedom for the Palestinian people that are still being slaughtered in the masses right now, broadcasted. Having said that, I also just want to make this really clear. There is no German mainstream media that has reported any of the atrocities and war crimes we have seen from Israel on Gaza. It's constantly being labeled as self-defense. And this old narrative really has to stop. There is no self-defense 7 months into a genocide. And I think it's shameful for anyone who claims to be, you know, a journalist who respects ethics to actually target people who stand up for human rights. And it's not just me. It's so many people in the movement that are being targeted by German media and by the German authorities like that. So I had the federal police come to my home several times. The third time they raided my home, they have been searching in my apartment for whatever evidence they're trying to have. It's not that I'm hiding anything. I'm an open book. Everything you need to know about me, you can find online, you can find on my social media, because I'm vocal about my thoughts on Palestine, and you know, there's no secret about it. And I feel like it is just a way to intimidate people that are loud in society. It's also for the government and for the media a way to say that there is no movement. It's just individuals that are rallying up a lot of people, which is absolutely not true. If I'm gone tomorrow, there will be thousands and thousands of others that will do the same and that will continue to stay loud and to demand justice. Everything I've done was operating in a legal system and utilizing my fundamental rights in a democracy to show my protest. And that is being criminalized to an extent where I have received around 17 letters from the police of me allegedly doing something wrong or illegal, I fought the majority of that, and there is no prosecution whatsoever that has been proven or has proven that I've done anything wrong or anything illegal. And I think this, putting this into perspective, makes me realize that it's obviously, again, not just about Palestine. It's about keeping democracy alive. It's about being able to participate in a democracy through protest. And if this isn't okay anymore in Germany, then I wonder what is left of democracy and where is my freedom of expression. And I think it's particularly hard to understand because Germany really tries to portray itself as this super innovative and forward-thinking democracy in the West. But now, as it can't handle criticism towards one of their allies, it starts to beat people, to kick pregnant women on the street, to criminalize people for chanting and saying certain chants are genocidal. And how can that be more horrible than actually sending arms to kill children? Like, where does this make sense? You're being put in a cell for chanting, "I want freedom for anyone in this region, from the river to the sea, no matter their ethnicity, religion, whatsoever, and I want equality." And for that, you're being put in a cell and you're being criminalized. Whereas a government giving money to a military to not only commit war crimes, to literally kill children, 70% of people that are being slaughtered in Gaza are women and children. That is okay. And that is something that we don't want to prosecute. And that is where the German government draws the line and says, ICJ against Israel is wrong. This is where I believe the world is really upside down. It doesn't make sense to me. It's just really ridiculous that you don't even know what's the next step, what's the next move for such a government.
Has this experience made you sort of question your Germanness?
100%. I grew up here, you know, as much as I, you know, am Palestinian, I grew up and was socialized in a German environment, right? So even if you experience structural racism and discrimination, there is a part of you that just wants to belong and that has just accepted the reality of this is where I live and this is where I built my career and my family. I think what it made me reflecting on it now is I was never German. And I will never be accepted to be German. And there is no interest whatsoever from a German government or a fellow German citizen for me to actually be German. They don't want that. And they made this really clear because no matter how hard one would try to be part of the society, as soon as I voice my opinion that does not align with the government's opinion, I'm not German anymore. And the rules do not apply to me anymore. And the legal system does not apply to me anymore. And that just shows me how deeply rooted racism is in Germany. I don't feel safe here. I don't feel welcome here. I have to say I am afraid walking down streets in Germany, being attacked for being Palestinian or showing any kind of symbol of me being Palestinian. At protests, I was attacked. I was attacked in a supermarket by a fellow citizen who labeled me as a terrorist just 2 weeks ago after a protest. Someone came running at me saying, "Fuck you, anti-Semite." And I just see this extremely increasing. And I think it is not surprising, unfortunately, because I feel that the current German government and the German media is fueling this hate and xenophobia. They are fueling it because they are making it okay to be against people in the Palestine Solidarity Movement. They are making it okay to label those people as terrorists. They are making it okay to beat those people. And they're making it okay to spit on those people. And as someone in this movement, I feel highly endangered. I mean, on the one hand, I don't feel safe in my own home because the police could come and run in with their guns, do whatever they want to me. I have no idea, you know, how to react to that besides, you know, going the legal way and fighting this repression.
Yeah.
But there is literally anyone who could just stab me on the street for showing solidarity with Palestine. And I wouldn't be surprised seeing this hate in Germany. And there's an increase of those cases. There's a recent UN report that has been released about racism in Germany. And you know what is interesting? If you put this into perspective around data of Germans and Europeans and their stance on genocide, there's a lot of Germans that say Israel should be held accountable. There's 50% of Germans that say, you know, this arms delivery should stop and we don't want to fund this genocide with our money.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those people don't show up. And unfortunately, those people are way too silent. And while they're being silent, everyone who shows solidarity with Palestine is highly endangered. And I hope that those people wake up and I hope those people become more visible.
I certainly hope so too. And I'm so sorry about the terrifying things that are being done to you and to anyone else daring to show support for Palestine and Germany. Salah, I wondered if you could tell me a bit about, or tell us on Kalam, a little bit about your family background and how you as Palestinians ended up in Germany.
Yeah, my parents are 48ers. My family is a 48er, so they left Palestine with the Nakba. My grandfather is originally from Elbas in the north of Palestine, and my grandmother's side is from a place called Sahmata. My mother's family is from Haifa, from the beach of Haifa, actually. We say Shat Haifa. There's a lot of stories my grandparents used to tell us about, you know, them being children and teenagers in Palestine. And obviously the tragedy started with them during the Nakba having to flee their country, and they made their way all up to Lebanon. I think it was the closest border. And after that, their life was marked by wars after wars, Israel coming into Lebanon, killing people, Lebanese civil wars, and obviously the living conditions for Palestinians in Lebanon, also a lot of other neighboring countries, were horrible. It's not that, you know, Palestinians received a lot of solidarity or support from the fellow Arabs. They lived in, you know, refugee camps and under really horrible living conditions. But one thing I will always remember is that the stories they tell are always joyful and fun and interesting. And no matter, you know, the sorrow and the tragedy they were living in, they kind of always were living. They always embraced life and, you know, continued to build families and continued to build an existence. Now, me, from a very privileged perspective, living in Germany and having built a great career and life, it's unimaginable for me when I reflect back on the stories I heard, or when I go and visit camps they grew up in. I think it's unimaginable that someone could find joy and fun in this horrific circumstance of life. And at the same time, I think it's something that always kept me and my siblings going, those stories and this wish for life and equality. As I said earlier, we grow up with the struggle, we are born into the struggle, and we know that we have to fight for justice. And that's the only thing that really every Palestinian needs to do, because if we don't do it, then there's an erasure of our identity. And I'm not a person who believes in nation states or nationalism or anything like that. I do think, you know, people should be able to live where they want, and, you know, those outdated ideas of nation states really are built on hate and, you know, people thinking they are superior than others. Nevertheless, when it comes to Palestine, it's all about letting this tradition and culture and language live and not being erased. And there is so much cultural appropriation around Palestinian heritage that is so rich and so, so beautiful. And if anything, this genocide, I feel, for a lot of Palestinians in the diaspora, has brought Palestine closer to everyone. Like, despite the horrific, horrific killing and murder against Palestinians, people are getting closer to their culture and, you know, and their heritage, and identifying with it even more. And that is beautiful. So my parents left Lebanon after the civil war and or during the civil war in 85, and they came to Germany. I think initially they wanted to go to Sweden. I wish they could have done that, because it seems to be a little bit easier for Palestine and solidarity in Sweden than it actually is in Germany.
Yeah.
And and then, you know, they built their life here. They always thought they're going back, right? There was not this idea of, oh, we're staying here permanently. There was no desire to live in the West or anything, but there's nothing to go back to. And there's no right to return. But I think Palestinians on this planet have this desire to return. And again, it really just shows what kind of injustice we live in when someone who is being born as a Jew, no matter what ethnicity or where they're born, they can go and live in Israel, a country they have nothing to do with, probably, whereas people that are still alive and used to live on those lands don't have a right to return.
It's almost ridiculously simple, you know, when you put it that way.
I don't ever thought it's complex, to be honest. I think it's really, really simple.
Yeah.
Be fair and believe in human rights and dignity, and, you know, have some empathy, and you will understand that this is not a religious war. This is not a war about, you know, people don't liking each other or anything like that. It's really about power.
Yeah.
And maintaining resource and supremacy and racism. This is what this is about.
Yeah. Salah, I'm going to let you go in just a minute. I'm so grateful that you took the time to speak with us today. I want you to say maybe something about, like, I mean, I'm not the kind of person who, like, has to end every interview on something like, on like a cheerful note. But I'm wondering if you are worried for the future of Germany specifically, or if you think that there are any, like, positive or reasonable forces, political forces, who might be able to or want to even change mainstream political dogma in Germany right now.
I'm definitely worried about Germany's future. I'm more so worried about Palestine and what is left of Palestine and all, you know, our friends and families and everyone in Gaza and the West Bank, because the killing is still ongoing. So that's where my main focus is. I feel like everything that is happening to us here in the diaspora is a distraction from the reality of the genocide. So no matter how hard it is, the things we go through, we should always try and not divert from the real situation on the ground. I do think that, yes, I'm worried for Germany, and I am worried because the reality is this is getting a lot more authoritarian. It's getting a lot more repressive. And there is no signs of Germany actually swifting away from their current stance. The hope that I see is the surveys and the data we're getting on Germans that are actually saying they condemn this behavior, they don't support this behavior, and they will stand up ideally with us in this movement to stop sending weapons to Israel. I don't believe that Germany is ever going to change their stance on Israel, and, you know, it's also not my problem to solve. But I think what we should have the right for is to say, this government that is using our tax money to send weapons to support killing and genocide, this is definitely something that we can do. And as much as for the desperate attempts of intimidation and house visits and criminalization, to be honest, they can do this all day, and it will never, ever stop me or anyone else in the movement from speaking up for what is right. And I feel like this is what a lot of countries and governments that are in support of Israel and that are very repressive are realizing. They won't shut us down. They won't silence us. And this movement is growing by the day, and we see international movements and people that are showing us that Israel is losing support and losing ground globally. So it's an opportunity for us to raise even more awareness, and rest assured, I'll never be silenced, and I will return to Palestine.
Salah Said, thank you so much for your courage, and thank you for speaking to us at Kalam Podcast today. solidarity, and all the best to you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Salah Saeed, a Palestinian activist from Germany. Follow him on Instagram at Salah_Saeed90 for continuous updates on Palestine and Germany. And don't forget to check out Kalam Podcast on YouTube. Like and subscribe to help us spread. That's all from us this week. Until next week, peace. Kalam was written and hosted by me, Edgar Mannheimer. Research and production by Sam Karl Samra. Poetry reading in Arabic by Khulud Saghir. And sound design by Arthur Mannheimer.